Hello, hello, and welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast, where we interview influencers, authors, speakers, people that bring value to this world. A lot of us, you know, are going through struggles, but sometimes you could have an idea or you want to start a new career or a new industry. Today, I am interviewing a longtime friend I've known since middle school, BJ Posadas, and I remember we first met in a science class, and like he was also into sports. But anyways, BJ, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited. Haven't done this in a little while, so it's good to reconnect.
Yes, he's trying new things. He's been on my other podcasts, the sports cast, and he was great. Maybe we'll have him for the World Cup because it's coming up in a few months.
Let's do it.
And this is recorded in 2022. I know people listen to this years later.
Oh, really?
Sometimes.
Nice.
So, BJ, we grew up in the same city, I believe, but tell us your beginnings.
Just like you, you know, I grew up in Weston, Florida. Went to college down here, Nova Southeastern University, studied international business, bounced around from a few different jobs, but ultimately real estate became my home as far as a profession and career-wise. Right out of the gate, I joined RE/MAX Premier Associates. From there, I moved on to a brokerage called Engel & Volkers, and then last, I was at a Compass of Fort Lauderdale. So an active real estate agent, you know, for going on 7 years. And then most recently, I made the transition after having a great opportunity to be part of a title company, which is, you know, perfectly congruent with what I was already doing. So I've, as of most recent, taking on that role, it's a business development role. My job is basically to meet with real estate agents, real estate teams, real estate brokerages, find out, learn more about what their business looks like, and then connect them with the resources that we've built and made available for agents to help them grow and expand their business. Aside from that, you know, my family is involved in, you know, the real estate investment side, on the ownership side, and of course, I'm always working with active agents that are in production. Still do some production myself, but my sole focus these days is meeting with real estate professionals, those of who are real estate agents or those who work with real estate agents, like mortgage professionals, of course home buyers and sellers, and I'm kind of like the liaison or a connector in the field of real estate, to where, you know, from a title company, there's things that we do to help those individuals, but just from a value add standpoint, which is kind of how I approach everything. Since I've been in the business for so long, usually if you need something in regards to real estate and connect with me, I can assist you or at minimum point you in the right direction so you can go out and seek out the information maybe you're looking for, whatever that next step is for you in real estate.
So as BJ mentioned, he's worked in the real estate industry for years, probably over 10 years, right?
Yeah, going on about 10 years now.
And I've known him for a while, but like here in South Florida, real estate is a very common industry. You might know a realtor once you settle into the community. Might more than one, actually. So BJ,
just a few.
Yes, I do know both our backgrounds are Colombian, but where'd you get that entrepreneur spirit? Because, you know, to be a realtor or to work anything in real estate, you gotta have that real estate, that entrepreneur spark. Where did that birth from?
That's a good question. I feel like maybe it birthed from a response of me knowing what I didn't like, right? And a lot of entrepreneurs probably can relate in that they didn't feel comfortable in a setting where there was direct micromanagement or overstructure, to where as an employee, say, or a participant in an organization, there was structured set rules that I had to follow, or somebody that I had to directly report to that maybe was giving out directions that I didn't necessarily agree with or feel were congruent with what I wanted to do with my life. So there was always some pushback and resistance. So, you know, going through high school and college, I had, you know, different jobs where I was in a more corporate structured setting, and it always just bothered me because I kind of wanted to break out and do my own thing. You know, it's always great to be a building block to somebody else's, you know, puzzle, but I knew that, you know, I wanted to do something for myself that I could build and where I could really contribute to others, where there was no limit on what that evolved into. So real estate was one of those professions where, as long as you attained the license and hung your license with the broker, how you go about your business and building your business was completely up to you. And you could make it as big, as large scale as you wanted to, or you could, you know, scale it back and dial things back to, you know, slow down if that was what the situation called for. As far as an entrepreneurial spirit from a young age, I mean, I did a lot of things. I was, you know, I think I told you I used to sell like Cutco knives door to door, and that was a great experience. I realized that if you had your pitch down pat and you knew how to present, you'd be surprised at the response and how easy people were willing to go into their wallet and write you a check for something like knives, right? As long as you can convey a value greater than what the price was, right? So that kind of clicked as I was doing like door-to-door sales. From there, I tried a couple other multi-level marketing, you know, organizations, and you know how that goes. Those are usually hit or miss. But nevertheless, in doing that, I was able to figure out that relationships were key. You know, I made a lot of good relationships in that arena that I still keep in touch with to this day. And then after trial and error, you know, corporate setting wasn't for me. Sales, I realized was an important skill. Relationships, I realized were a way to quickly level up. You know, and then I looked around at all my friends leaving college, and I noticed that the ones that seemed to be making the most money and that had the most flexibility as far as how they could expand and grow were those that were in real estate. So I figured, you know what, let me just go to school, get the license, and I'll start there and see where it takes me. But yeah, the entrepreneurial spirit kind of came from knowing what I didn't want and being a little bit irritated working under somebody that, you know, didn't necessarily have my best interests in mind. And from there, I just kept looking for the opportunity where I could do the opposite and, you know, have that creativity and you know, just no restrictions on what I could do creatively to grow and build a business. And then ultimately in a position now where I can help others do the same thing.
Real estate, how was your first couple years? How long did it take you to make your first
transaction? Yeah, to be honest, it took me one calendar year to sell my first house. So, and I think a lot of agents struggle with like, where do I start in the beginning? I'll tell you what, you should go get a mentor immediately. Join a team or find somebody that's doing or working the type of clients or with the type of clients that you, you know, foresee yourself working with in the future, and, you know, get within close proximity to whoever that may be or whatever group that may be. And then just by osmosis, you're gonna pick up the jargon, you're gonna understand the lingo, you're gonna, you know, replicate their mannerisms, you're gonna listen in on conversations, you're gonna sit in on appointments, and, you know, you'll start to just furnish the skill of being X type of agent that maybe you want to be by just kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Mirroring somebody who's already doing it. But my first years were not pretty. I did a couple rentals that were a mess because I really didn't have anybody show me what to do, and I was kind of waiting till the last minute until I was at the next step to go ask somebody, what do I do next? So it was a rocky road that first year, very discouraging. I used to work a bartending gig like in the evenings, and that was really my main source of income while I figured out my way. And then it took me a whole year, but funny enough, when I did finally find a client and sell a house, I actually sold three in 1 month. And this is like maybe 9 years ago or something, but I ended up making
2013, 2012?
Yeah, I ended up making $25,000 of commissions in 1 month. Right after a year of basically just, you know, picking up breadcrumbs and
how was that feeling when it hit your account?
Well, I mean, it was that was like proof of concept that, like, okay, I didn't just waste my time, you know, putting in the time to learn or copy or, you know, work for free, piggyback off of other agents, you know, work the leads that they didn't want to, you know, work with. It made it all worth it. It gave me proof of concept, and I realized that I can go out and do this again. And I wanted to figure out how could I replicate, not necessarily the whole year, but just that month again, over and over. So the first year wasn't pretty, but the result of the first year was. And from there, I think that also solidified me knowing that I wanted to just work within real estate for the future on. And then here we are 10 years later, still in the field, still have a burning desire to help agents who are starting now and maybe going through that beginning phase, give them the guidance or the resources or the knowledge or the tips that I didn't have to help them fast track.
Great segue, by the way. If a person had to start, let's say this year, to become a real estate agent, what would you tell them? What steps, obviously go to Gold Coast or go to a real estate school, but after that, what should you do? I mean, should you get a mentor like BJ? Should you get a mentor at Volcker? Like, what would be like the first steps you would tell him or her?
I would find a team. Find a team that's already doing production, that's gonna have some type of spillover in that. And when I say spillover, I mean that they have additional leads that they can provide you that the other agents aren't able to work, or that they have actively producing agents that are now only working a certain type of lead, call it listings or sellers, and maybe they'd like to, you can connect with them, partner with them, and they can provide you with additional leads or learning opportunities. But plug yourself into a team that's already a fine-tuned machine, so that you can kind of just—it's like when you're in NASCAR. You know the concept of drifting or drafting, like basically when you get behind a car and you can use the gravitational pull of the other car to catapult you forward. It's the same concept. Find a team or an individual agent that's already doing what you want to do. Fit yourself into their equation. Do all the work that they don't want to do, meaning take on all the leads that maybe they're not wanting to take on or that they don't have time to take on. And then eventually you would have built up enough experiences under your belt that you can choose to continue with that group or then branch off for yourself once you've probably learned from that group or individual how to generate your own leads and then how to service those leads. So work to learn initially, and then take that experience to decide, maybe what niche you want to go to, or what neighborhood or market you want to join, or what brokerage is better suited for where you want to take your career. But in the beginning, just find an opportunity to learn.
Yeah, and speaking about niches, because I've worked with real estate clients in the past couple years, and there's niches like luxury.
Yeah.
Niches, I guess the regular niche, I'm not sure. You could probably name a whole lot more than I can. And that's something that, it's something that to consider. Now, when you started back then, how were the market conditions back then versus now today for a new realtor?
Yeah, when I first started, it was right after there had been a crash and the market was on an uptick. So everybody had seen the crash and now was observing property values appreciating. And it's kind of crazy because since then we've seen a whole market cycle, and then now we're back to kind of the top of a cycle where prices are at a point where everyone's wondering, like, can they continue going up? Or we've seen some shift in stabilizing of the market recently, with rate changes and such. Everyone's wondering what's going to happen next. So it kind of reminds me of when I first started. It was kind of that stage where there had been a crash and people were weary of the past happening again. But in general, it was a healthy market. So it was a good opportunity at that time to really just...
plenty of inventory, right?
Yeah, plenty of inventory and a good chance to learn, which is probably now, there's a lot less inventory than there was available. A lot of the leverage is on the seller side right now, especially in Florida, South Florida. It was a bit more of a balanced market at that point, but it was trending upwards.
Let's go today. You did a shift in the real estate industry. You're not out of the real estate industry, but tell us, what are you up to today?
Yeah, today my sole focus is building and expanding our title company. And when I say building and expanding, it means connecting with real estate agents throughout the state of Florida that share, the like-minded growth mindset and that have a vision that they want to, further expand in the future, especially with their real estate career. So, like I said, we have a pretty well-established title company main office is in downtown Fort Lauderdale, but there's five other offices in Weston, West Palm Beach, Boca, West Kendall, downtown Miami. We have two full-time attorneys and 16 processors, and I don't work on the files, and I always tell the agents, because that's really important. That's why I'm able to be available at all times to assist agents with whatever their title, if it's concerns, or if it's an objective, or if it's just getting information for their clients, or if it's just providing white glove customer service for their clients, I'm available typically, you know, all the time, a phone call, text message, email away, to help them with that, right? You kind of, like I said, a title is one of the aspects of the real estate transaction that must be in place, and it's good. And if you're a real estate agent, you should have a power team, right? You should have a go-to lender. You have your broker who provides oversight when you need it. Having an attorney, having your go-to vendors that you can confidently refer to other people and that you can depend on. A title expert and a title company, or, you know, not to toot my own horn, but a title rep. If I could go back and give a real estate agent advice, I'd say from day one, find a title rep that you can work with, that can be part of your team, and that can provide resources for you that you can only benefit from, right? If you are looking to grow and expand your business, you should align yourself with someone that has resources that are gonna make that easier for you. The right title company and the right title rep can do that for you. And that's why, you know, I'm trying to get the message out there, and I want to connect with as many real estate professionals as possible to do just that.
And what is the name of this company?
Oh, the company's called Title Now. Our website is titlenowfl.com. There's plenty of information there you can find on the company. And me on Instagram, I'm pretty busy on Instagram. I promote a lot of our events, do a lot of videos, do a lot of things, you know, conversations like this, and try and put content out there that I think will be helpful for agents or real estate professionals. And the Instagram handle is BJ_TitleNowFL.
Tell us about these events. You've been hosting them recently. You've been starting them. What is the purpose besides having fun and having a drink and food to eat? But what is the purpose and the meaning behind it?
Yeah, I think events I've recently something that I've dabbled into, and you know, the last few events that we've held have been major successes. In doing that, I've realized the power of collaborating and getting like-minded people together. The number one purpose of any event, in my opinion, is creating an environment where like-minded individuals are able to exchange value, right? So even if it's not my product or my service that can help the person that I invited, perhaps that person that I invited can meet somebody that they didn't know before, and they may be able to connect and exchange value. And me being, you know, the person that participated in organizing it gives me kind of it helps with social currency. You know, credibility.
Dynamics,
right. Yeah. Well, what I meant by currency is kind of like, hey, Santiago, thanks for coming to my event. I have somebody I want you to meet, right? And then I introduce you to somebody that might be looking for someone just like you to either work with, or that you could have synergy with from a client, a business to customer dynamic, right? And if that works out, then in the back of your mind, you'll remember, hey, you know what it was? Me connecting you with somebody else, and that works out great for you. And in the back of your mind, you're gonna think, hey, it was BJ that connected us. I'm gonna keep him in mind for any opportunities that I have to introduce him to someone that he may find a valuable relationship in, right? So you just, with the events, it's basically, you're setting up opportunities for you to connect with individuals that may need your assistance, but also for you to connect other individuals that may have some synergy and could work together. And then from doing that enough, I only see bigger opportunities coming from it, right? Because eventually that one person's going to attend your event. They might have something for you, available for you to participate in or work with, that could expand just your network, that could expose what you have to offer to more individuals. And organically, you know, good opportunities will come from that for the host and for the attendees.
Have you ever had a situation, I mean, you personally, I have, where you meet a person years ago, nothing happened, there was no business transaction, but like, let's say 3 years later, something does happen.
Right.
So it can happen at one of your events. You meet someone, nothing might happen, might not think of anything of it, but 2 years later, he might spot you on LinkedIn or tries to call, hey, I remember you, I need help for this and that.
Yep. I mean, it happens all the time. That's the thing is, like, people ask me, like, oh, well, you know, you're attending this event, but it's not a real estate event. It's just a business professional, you know, or why would you go here when that's kind of like outside of your field? And I thought you only work, you know, with real estate professionals. And that's not the case. It's like, you never know who you're going to meet. And then you never know who you meet, who they may know, right? So you're always one connection away from, you know, your next big quantum leap. You know, I think it's Grant Cardone has a saying, it's like the only thing between you and what you want is a stranger that you don't know yet. So keeping that in mind, you know, being open to the fact that one relationship could literally open up a whole, you know, Pandora's box of opportunities, you know, makes every event valuable and every encounter and every conversation valuable. So, you know, I just look to connect with as many individuals as possible and figure out how can I provide value for this person without expecting anything in return. And if you do that enough times, then maybe it will be a scenario where 2 years down the road, that person remembers, like, oh yeah, you did connect me and we did do business together. And I see that you know so-and-so and I think you guys would be a good match. Or like, hey, could you do me a favor and connect me with, you know, somebody that I see is in your network. And because you looked to provide value first initially, and if that goes well, you know, it's never gonna be a burden for you to ask that person for a favor in return, or they may just return the favor in the best way that they see fit.
See possible.
Yeah.
So how can people find more information about your next event or future events?
Well, I'd say the best way to stay in the know about all the cool stuff that we're doing is on Instagram. Again, BJ_TitleNowFL. That's my Instagram handle. Upcoming events, we always promote them on IG. In 2022, I almost find that it's almost more efficient to be mutual followers to somebody on social media than it is to just have somebody's email in your Rolodex. You know, I think I think the average person these days probably checks social media before they check their email or before they listen to their voicemails. And on top of that, it's a very visual, you know, like video and picture.
Right.
So you kind of feel a little bit more connected when you're let's say you're DMing and you're communicating back and forth, but the whole time, you know, there's a picture that follows every message, and it's like, okay, I'm like, I know what this person looks like. I can put a face to the name, and it's a lot easier for you to remember and keep people top of mind when you're connected on social. So yeah, so that's definitely the number one go-to place.
And which is BJ Posadas _
No, it's BJ _ Title Now FL.
Title Now FL.
FL like Florida.
Awesome.
Right.
Did you tell your 15-year-old self?
I'd probably tell my 15-year-old self to, you know, stay away from all the distractions that you intuitively know are taking you away from the stuff that's gonna make you a better person or get you closer to whatever your goals might be. Like a lot of people when they're young, you know, it's hard to kind of identify what your purpose is and figure out what you want to do, but there's plenty of things you could be doing to make that vision a bit more clear, whether it's joining community, playing sports, reading books, writing down goals. My mom, when I was younger, used to beg me to write down my goals when I was like a teenager.
She did. Wow.
And I can remember being a teenager and thinking, why would I do that, mom? Like, why would I write down? Why can't I just have what I want, you know? and so naive, so ignorant to the idea, like how much of a tool having clarity on your goals really, and then staying connected, you know, reviewing really is, you know. And these days I'm, you know, a goal junkie, and everything is planned out and calculated, and I'm, you know, setting a vision for myself, right? That was something that to me, it was like, what, you know, leave me alone, mom, why are you asking me to do it? But if I could snap my fingers and instead be in tune to why that's so important, and how basically you eventually grow into, manifest, or embody whatever you define as your future, you know, maybe not in the time that you expected, but typically you move in that direction. Understanding that aspect of growth in life, I wish I would have got it faster, because when I was younger, I can't say I wasn't distracted by things like girls or going out, or, you know, hanging out with some of the people in the wrong crowd, or partying and things like that. And while all that stuff is great and fun in moderation, in the end, you know, you're going to feel better about the stuff that brought you closer to the things that are important to you and where you want to take, you know, your life, than, you know, just some hanging out with your buddies and wasting time and not having clarity on your goals or your future or your vision.
That was a smooth landing. One more time, contact information, you and your company.
Yeah, you can definitely find me on Instagram, BJ_TitleNowFL. The company's name, Title Company, is Title Now. We are the only title company in Florida right now that is covering the costs for every agent to have their own transaction coordinator to take care of the repetitive admin tasks from contract to closing. A lot of agents right now are paying that out of pocket. They should really contact me, and we can talk about how I can provide a number of other resources, but specifically, you know, set you up with a personal assistant that can take care, that can help you be a real professional, focus on the money-making activities, and delegate those admin tasks to someone that's better suited. You know, my phone number, I guess if that matters, 954-816-9642. You can DM or text me. I'm always available. But yeah, definitely Instagram, BJ_TitleNowFL.
Bringing attention and value to real estate agents. They also need to be served as
yes.
well and get that process.
So yeah.
Well, there you have it, guys. A person, my friend BJ, persevered, hustling, seeing the angles, seeing the business opportunities, creating relationships. That's something that not many people think about when they think about business. That relationship could, you know, spark right off the bat, or it may take a couple weeks, a couple months for a thing to just develop. And you never know. Typically, the person you never think of, I meant a really brief, quick intro, that person could come around.
Yep.
Versus another person you might talk for an hour, nothing happens. You know, right. I've seen that happen before. But anyways, hope you guys enjoyed this episode. BJ, any closing words?
Man, I just want to touch on what you just mentioned, the power of network relationships and connections. Everyone's always looking for that magic pill, or what's the shiny object that can catapult me. Well, that magic pill, that shiny object really is that one connection you could make if you're just willing to put yourself out there, introduce yourself, look to provide value first without expecting anything in return. If you do that enough times, you're gonna ultimately or eventually connect with somebody that can help you get to the next stage of where you want to go. So, I mean, saying yes to do a podcast like this, saying yes to the when someone extends you an invite to come to an event, organizing, you know, lunches or, you know, group coffees and stuff like that of your own, anything that takes you out of your comfort zone and gives you opportunities to meet that one stranger who could be the door opener for a larger opportunity. I mean, you're going to want to take as many of those as possible. So, my closing words would be, don't forget about the power of network, don't forget about the power of relationships, and don't forget to connect with me after this episode in the quickest way possible, so that hopefully we can talk and I can introduce you, or I could open up my, you know, network to help you accelerate your business, your objectives, your goals.
BJ, I appreciate you coming on to
my man, I appreciate you.
Productions Podcast.
It was long overdue, but always a pleasure, man.